Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You hang up being there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Black won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. And I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money from the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor that is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly. They can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, boy, who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
Oh,
was talking to a cat the other night. He said, what everybody's looking for this? What everybody's looking for today? They're looking for escapism.
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This, God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it, because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go over on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad a cat. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come. We'll be right back.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Friends, it is time once again for our daily message of hope. And with today's message, here is Richard Eaton.
Friends, to brighten your day, here is our message of hope. Afraid of change? You can't do anything about it. Change is inevitable. Growth is the great fundamental principle, the function of our lives. The seed in the ground will rot if it does not sprout and grow. And so will our minds and souls and bodies. Without conscious action and striving, our Creator answers most prayers in the terms of ideas for action. He doesn't give us something for nothing. He expects us to use what He gives us in active exercise of a freedom which He permits our minds and souls to exercise in reactions to the life patterns of ups and downs. Strange events, curious, unforeseen happenings. Human consistencies, all can be changed according to the way our mind evolves, adapts, and grows. Nothing in this world is so inevitable, nor hardly so obvious. The fact is, everything does change. So often we'd like things to remain the same. It'd be so comfortable, nice. We get used to things. We adapt ourselves to a certain pattern. And then suddenly, without any warning, it changes. What are you going to do about it? Well, the first step in gaining a happier and more satisfying state of mind is recognition of the significance of this fact. Everything changes. Everything in life is changing as you and I are changing. And we must do more than this to take proper advantage of the ceaseless change inevitable in our lives. We must consciously react to direct actions that change in the paths of improvement, in the growth of our mind and soul. Change alone is inevitable and constant. But change alone is not growth. It is not progress. We have to do the progress ourselves. We have to convert. We have to adapt. Growth is a cornerstone, the primary marvel of our earthly lives. Our Creator has provided for physical growth in a pattern in which He has given us only limited powers to alter. From babyhood, we go to childhood. From childhood to adolescence. From adolescence to adulthood. And so the story grows. Physical growth. But the way we adapt ourselves to prepare ourselves for those unusual situations, the ones which we can call pleasant or unpleasant, that depends on the way we grow in our minds, the way we grow in the power of adaptation. For friends, life is a constant adaptation. Every phase of life presents a spectacle of change. And as a consequence, the spectacle of retrogression, a standstill status or progress of growth. In each case of progress or growth, there is a constant overcoming, a vanquishment of the obstacles met in the Creator's pattern of constant change. See, that's all important. All about us, we see growth or deterioration taking place in grass, in flowers, in vegetables, in pets, in our children, in our own body. But the thing that's important is the way we adapt ourselves to this change. That's all important. In our affairs, all too often, we select for cultivation the very things we don't want. Courses that lead to mistakes and trouble, sorrow and pain. Then we carefully endow these selections with the full energy of our thoughts and words. We water them with tears and self-pity. Give them the concentration of undivided attention. And then we have a way of wondering why, indeed of all our efforts, we grow in a crop of trouble and discord. Let me tell you, it is not necessary. Let us deliberately refuse to turn our thoughts to those weeds we do not want. We must discipline our minds to concentrate on the good, on positive thoughts, the sunshine and water and soil that produce good in our lives, on the thought energy, the emotional powers we concentrate on our affairs to convert inevitable change into growth. In other words, our job every single day, and this day too, is to watch where we're going, what we're doing. If we want love and happiness, be sure it's to love and happiness that you devote your attention, not to discord and bitterness and resentment. If you want success in some field, give full recognition. Yes, give full recognition to success, and it's yours already. Think positive thoughts. Fix the life-giving force of your attentions and assurance and faith on the good you already have. Look for it in every circumstance. Now make no mistake about it. Change is inevitable. You can't halt the process of change any more than you can keep your child a baby. In the words of Dr. Arthur H. Compton, everywhere the conditions of life are changing rapidly, and these changes are all in the direction of greater interdependence. That is, making better cooperation of paramount importance. The point is, that in this process of change, we go forward or we go backward. We bow to circumstances or we rise above circumstances. Of course, we cannot be expected to see beyond the point of our understanding any more than we can see beyond the horizon limit of our eyes. But the point is, we can master the thoughts we permit to remain in our minds. We can choose our thoughts according to God's laws. We know we get out of life exactly what we put into it. Nothing more, nothing less. We know if we sow love, we shall reap love. We sow hate, we reap hate. We have the power to concentrate on whatever kind of thoughts we choose. We know that if we endeavor to have an understanding heart, we shall find elsewhere an understanding heart. We know if we pardon, we shall be pardoned. We know if we give, we shall receive. Look at your own picture, 5, 10, or 20 years ago. See what a change has been made on the outside, in the outside person. You will scarcely know yourself. Well, that's the growth of the body. But God has given you the mastery of your mind. Your soul can keep pace with the growth of the body, just as the less perceptible growth of the trunk of the tree matches the more visible enlargement of its limbs. Look back at what you were thinking 5, 10, or 20 years ago, at the obstacles which seemed insurmountable then, at the joys and sorrows of yesterday. And just as it's hard to believe, those old photographs are you. Yes, we really looked as we did, not as we see ourselves in the mirror today. So it is equally difficult to imagine the progress, the maturity, that our soul has accomplished and made in the course of these years. In other words, we do not change without more than we change within. This is all important to know. There is no limit to the transformation which can take place in your mind. When we dig a little deeper in our search for answers to life's questions, when we wisely read between the lines, we find that God puts his blessings upon our efforts and draws us close, imparts to us his divine wisdom. We find, first of all, that our soul, our mind, gains maturity as we react in a positive manner to the pattern of life, no matter how unpleasant or unexpected. A pattern which we may not be able to change, except in our minds. But remember, that's all important in our mind, because what actually counts is what we think, the way we feel about something. The growth of the soul, therefore, depends upon our free reaction to the problems with which we are faced. Our life is part of a divine plan, carefully prepared in every detail. Each moment of that plan offers a marvelous opportunity for our adaptation, for the growth of our soul and of our mind. The whole picture of our lives is so much brighter than the small pieces that hold and which our minds are prone to dwell on at length. Isolated from the background of all this, the whole, some parts, may look awfully black. But let me tell you, our Creator in time ultimately moves in on our subconscious mind and plays a pleasant trick on all of us. The unpleasant experiences of the past are relegated to the past. When we realize the power of our mind, the real secret escapes us as long as we fail to exercise that freedom of choice, all important, endowed to us by our Creator. This mystery of growth functions in time of crises more than ever before. We say, why does this happen to me? How could this happen to me? I don't deserve this. Suppose we say, this is an opportunity, a challenge to react and gain greater maturity. Life with its steady, compelling urge to grow means that any door may open to us at any moment. Life makes us beneficiary of the physical experiences that the ages have bequeathed to us, of the signs and inventions of genius, of the mental and physical work of our forefathers that set us free to seek the larger spiritual things of life. Friends, let us profit by these examples of the past, by physical knowledge, to prepare ourselves better for the experiences of life. Yes, we can encounter experiences of all kinds along life's highway, good and bad, pleasant and unpleasant. We can prepare ourselves for many trials simply through the richness of knowledge of those who lived before us. But along that same highway, each of us is certain to meet some experiences so different from those for which we are prepared and so unexpected. But the point is, are they going to catch us unprepared and unaware? Each of us on life's journey must face a great many such surprising and disconcerting experiences that happen every day, any minute, and take us unprepared, unaware. The knowledge that somehow or other we have inside of us the strength, the power, and mastery of our mind to control every situation, to react, and so to change in our mind our feelings about any problem and situation is all important. What a wonderful privilege is ours to be a human being, to know that we endow with the mastery of our mind, that we can control through our reactions whatever is our fate. No, we may not control circumstances or situations, but we can control our life because we control that which we feel about life. What a wonderful challenge it is. Friends, you've been listening once again to our message of hope. God bless you, everyone.
Listen again tomorrow for another message of hope with Richard Eaton. This is UBC, the United States.
Okay. All right. We had to have some motivation to start today. All right, today's this is Airbnb week, so we're doing something every day related to Airbnb. We have a guest on Friday. He'll share some of his experiences with Airbnb, and who knows? We'll see. We're at tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, so hopefully, I don't know, we might have dropping yet, but we got one for Friday for sure. All right, so now this idea, and this is a carryover from yesterday, Monday. Today's podcast is titled $1 Million Hidden in Your Backyard. $1 Million Hidden in Your Backyard. Now, 2 weeks ago and the week before that, within the last 3 weeks, we've had on twice Anson Troy out of Oakland, California. And he makes $9,000 to $10,000 a year with his backyard in the city of Oakland, California. Okay. Urbanized city. And that's good money. All right. It's enough for him to, he was able to quit his job. And he's got himself, he has a son, and the mother of his child. He supports all that. Okay. With two tiny houses in his backyard. Right. Now, that's it. So, one of the things he mentioned, I think, in the first, he probably mentioned it both interviews we did with, but, you mentioned that, you know, there's people on Airbnb that are renting out tents. Okay. So I had deactivated my Airbnb account, like, right at the pandemic. So I just, I'm not doing that. You know, I found another method which works for me. But anyway, so. But I went back on Airbnb, and after looking up, I went on there specifically. I was just looking for one person who was renting out their backyard and renting out a tent on their property or backyard. Man, I found a whole bunch of them on there. So I reactivated my account. The app's back on my phone for Airbnb. So now yesterday, a young lady out of Hawaii, and I found two stories on her. One was that she makes $28,000 a year from renting out her property on in Hawaii. All right, so let me see. Let me. I'm going to our page on. Let me see. Facebook. And let me see if I can find that article. Because then I found. All right. 28-year-old. She spent $8,000 total. Now I found one article that says she makes $28,000 per year, and then I found another article that says she makes $3,000 a year, and then here's another article that says this guy actually made. All right, let me read it. This guy actually made money listing his backyard tent for $46 a night on Airbnb. I have that on our Facebook page, all right? Everyone knows Silicon Valley is an expensive place to live. Renting a two-bedroom apartment will set you back an average of $2,900 a month. But one man rents out a more affordable, innovative space, a tent in his parents' backyard, and is helping him make a ton of money. It's $46 a night. Okay. Renting out a backyard tent, John Potter set up a 7-foot a 9x7-foot four-person tent in his parents' backyard in Mountain View, California. The block. Hold on, right? Okay. The block from Google's quarters listed in the Airbnb. Okay. So, you don't want to think too much on this. And let's say this, let's just go to 30-day month. That's $1,380 a year. Oh, excuse me a minute. Oh, that's a month. Excuse me. $1,380 a month. $1,380 a month. So then something told me, $1,380 a month times 12, that's $16,560 a year. That's $46. You got, you know. So something told me $1,000,000. Let's take $1,000,000. And hold on, let me get my figures right again. 1380 a month times 16,560. All right, $1,000,000 divided by six. Hold on, 1380. All right, 16,560. Okay, $1,000,000. Divided by $16,560. So if he did that 60 times or 59 more times in a course of a year, he would have a million dollar a year income. Now he might not be able to pull that out of his backyard, Okay. However, if he's got friends and relatives that are open-minded and say, look, you got a backyard, I got this concept, I do all the work, and I'll cut you a check at the end of the month. The boots on the ground partner at that location, they cut him a check. Set up any kind of way you want it. But, you know, I wouldn't mind splitting up $1 million a year pot with a few people. All right. So, I got thinking, you know, now, let's just keep it simple. This is an idea that anybody can do. Even now, what I did for myself, I lowered the price. You know, I said, you know what? What if, you know, I get a tent and I rent it out for $100 a week? All right. And if we go to our Facebook page, which is It's My House, DIY Housing Television or TV. Let's go to that. I have on there, I've got some pictures there. And the first picture in that link, which is a series of pictures, a collage of pictures, of, and I'll explain the picture in a moment, but we've got a housing pyramid there. And at the biggest population of people, which is at the base of the pyramid, or your bread and butter homes, they're priced under $50,000. And then as you see, you know, 50,000 to 74,000 are intermediate price homes. Higher price homes are priced start at 75,000 and go to 99,000. Luxury homes start at 100,000 to go to 200,000. And elite homes are priced at 200,000 or more. Well, I'm a bread and butter guy. Okay. I'm a bread and butter guy because that's where there's a lot of action. There's more action with homes priced $50,000 and under versus $200,000 plus. All right, so I was looking at, okay, instead of $46, you know, a day, which isn't bad, what if it was just $100 a week? Because I have something right now where I get $100 a week. All right, so $100 a week, $400 a month. All right, $400 a month, you know, it can help. It does help. But some people might be thinking, no, it's not enough. So I want you to look at it this way. Times 12, that's $4,800 a year. If I run out of 10, $4,800 a year, that's lower than this guy. But stick with me, here's where I'm going with this. So if you take $1 million and you divide it by $4,800, $4,800. In other words, if I do 208, if I repeat that actually 207 more times, I have an income. Well, let's do the math on this. Okay, 4,800 times 208 tenths. Oh, we got it. Inch it up. Let's see, 210. Yeah, 4,800 times 210. That stands for 210 tenths. backyard tents. That'll give me a gross revenue of $1,008,000. Just as getting a Walmart tent, and I bought one 4 years ago. Haven't used it yet, but now I know exactly how I'm going to use it in the formula, which I just explained to you the formula. Well, this is something anybody can do. You can put it on Now, if you put it on Airbnb, you'll probably make more money. Caveat when you're dealing with Airbnb, even though it's a tent that you might be renting out because they got caves on there for rent, they got all kinds of things on there for rent. Typically, Airbnb customers, that customer base there, they're higher-end people, and if anything else, there are higher maintenance people. And I know a guy that rented out something on Airbnb called Macklin, but he got a negative review because whoever rented that space for that time and period, you know, short, 3-4 days, you know, the complaint was they didn't have all the necessary spices already in the kitchen. You know, there's a lot of spices out there. But, hey, you know, super hosts know that. So, you know, study that market, Airbnb. Like, see, that's more of a higher-end or higher maintenance group of people that you're going to deal with, although they do have some bad eggs that get in there occasionally. So, once again, that's a really, like I say, I took, because the $28,000 sounds good, $30,000 a month off of a tent or two tents sounds good, $46 a night, you know, I'll pay that, you know, for a motel room for the night, you know, if I'm on a road trip. So, you know, like a Motel 6, they run about those prices and whatnot. So, however, I looked at, okay, well, what if I, you know, $100 a week, $400 a month, $4,800 a year off of one tent. And if you do that 210 more times, you'll make over $1 million a year. Now, we've done over 2,000 podcasts here. I'm looking at the exact numbers. Let me get it now. All right, we've done, as of, I guess today, 2,336 podcasts on, just on here. I've done other podcasts, but for It's My House / DIY TV, we've done as of 2,336. So, the new plan, because tomorrow is my birthday, so we have a new goal. We haven't forgot about our December the 24th goal, but trigger now, if we had done, set up just one tent or one tiny house, you know, because like I said, I can get on my phone right now and for $100 or so, or even less, get a tent. The key is you got to have a space to put it. But if we had did, I'm going to just say 2,000. What was the number I had on here? Okay. 2,336, okay. 2,336. 2,336 had we just done one tent that brought in a yearly income of $4,800 a year, this program would have a revenue of $11,212,800 a year, which we are nowhere near that. Nowhere near that. However, now we have a business model for that. So any donations that we get, now we got some to start a garden, or I'm going to say garden out of farm, because we want to start that out small. I'm going to tell you where your money will be going. Okay. Your money will be going to fund a tent. All right. And or building materials on which we can build a small solar off-the-grid cabin. That'll bring us more than $100 a day. So I can tell you that now. We'll announce that, you know, throughout the week and month, this month, and in and out throughout the balance of this year. All right. That is our unique business model, because like the person and Brother Beasley donated seed some time ago, but he did, because we're going to take those seeds after we plant them, because I got to get a green thumb person, and we got to have a security, because we don't want to grow anything. And I'm looking at a greenhouse we need to build for that, because we don't want to grow anything and then have people steal the produce. So we want to grow them in a secure, you know, a greenhouse type situation. And, of course, that will be another source of revenue. So growing our own food, okay, now I can start to see some daylight on how that's going to pay off. And then tents and small cabins, you know, that's, and we'll, by Friday we'll be more formalized on this. But now, on going back to the Facebook page, DIY Housing TV, or It's My House TV, I think either one will get you there. So we have the housing pyramid picture, and then there's about three pictures of me on there. So I get out and handle the hammer myself. And then the pictures, that's what I call Earth Wealth Forest. That's our 4 acres. So that's where, now I got a tent. I'll be taking a video of the tent and posting it up on Facebook later today and Instagram. But so now we're not going to try to put 200 tents on one location. No. We're going to, that's very, because I like particularly that location. I want it to be like kind of low profile, you know, and whatnot. I want to keep it quiet. We got deer on there, turkeys on there, and whatnot. So we don't want to scare the wildlife off or anything like that. All the neighbors got more acres than I do. So, but we'll be picking up more acres. Because, see, this thing of 210 tents in a year, or 200 tents / cabins in a year, that's doable. We do over, we do over 210 podcasts a year anyway. Let me see. Let me And we rarely do weekends. But we're going to start, you know, we're going to pick back up on weekends. If we don't do 7 days a week, we're definitely going to do six. Because if we do Saturdays and take just one day, although I'm thinking, why not seven? But if we do that, that's 52 more podcasts a year. All right, so let's see. 20 business days in a month times 12. So we do missed some days every now and then every year. So we went at it Monday through Friday every week for 52 weeks out of the year. We would do 240 podcasts. So taking into consideration some missed days. So we're gonna add on weekends. Saturdays and Sundays, which would be like building days or whatever. But our business model from here on out is the goal is to either get a tent and or build a cabin and rent it out or do both of them in a day. That's our business model. And then, of course, we'll be growing food, too. And I'll let you know when we're ready for that. Because we need to have that in a secured, like I said, we don't want to grow stuff and then come back. And then we got to secure for two pests, you know, because around my, right here, we got in, up there too, raccoons, rabbits, deer. So we have to secure, we have to grow the food in a secure situation where the wildlife won't get it and or man won't poach it. So we'll do some podcasts on that. And I know nothing about that, so if you guys know about that, we need to do some podcasts on that and follow that. And but in any event, we should be able to do that's our business model. That's our official business model. We'll do over 210 podcasts in a year. But if we do at least one structure that we can get $100 a week from, okay, 210 tents, or a combination of 210, and they're different type of tents. They're tents made from cloth, you know, cabin tents made from a combination of wood and cloth, or metal tents, okay, because we talked about an A-frame tent yesterday. So if we do 210, okay, we've been consistent with that for over 9 years now. We're working on year 10. All right, we've got over 2,300 podcasts. So have we been doing this from the tee up? You know, we'd be taking in over $11 million a year. All right, so we're nowhere near that. But I'll set the official goal tomorrow. It'll probably be, actually, I can tell you what that, wait a minute. Okay. 210. 210 times 4,800. No, that's not one. 220 tenths. Seven. Now let's do it. 225 tenths. In a podcast a year, times 4,800, that's 1,080 let me see, 220 times 4,800. All right, here it is. Our goal is part of our business plan is to take in a revenue, all right? We do 220 tents. We do 220 tents in a year, one a day, one for each podcast. Either we buy it or we build it. It's one or the other. We either buy it or we build it. All right, now, at least one a day. If we miss a day, then we got to double. We got to double time it the next day. All right, so we do that, and on average, that particular tent takes in a yearly income of $4,800 gross. Then that gives us a gross yearly income of $1,056,000. That's what, and then we're going to put this visually so you can see it, follow along. And this is something that you might want to do on an individual basis. We won't be doing this solo, so hopefully we'll get people out in the audience and we'll pick up. Well, you'll see how we pick it up. All right, so we've got one tent to start. I've already bought it. I'll post it up online in photo and video form later today and then review it tomorrow so you can see it during a live podcast. And which means I've got 219 more to purchase, either to purchase, build, or partner on. And we can put them up on Airbnb or whatever platform that is out there. Okay. So, all right, that's about it on my end for this segment of Airbnb Week. You can go on Airbnb and explore you know what, they got almost everything in there, you know, except the kitchen sink. And they might have that on the, you know, in the menus they do have that. But excellent ideas on there on how to, you know, take some spare space in your, in as Anson Troy would call it, house hacking. I mean, they got castles on there, mansions on there, islands on there, rooms on there. Matter of fact, let me go to that right now. Let's see, there rooms, beachfront property, a section called OMG, tiny homes, treehouse, amazing views, mansions. And let's go over now. You can do this on any search engine, tents on Airbnb. And let's see, camping, one of 50 categories on Airbnb. All right, now I talked about this yesterday, Airbnb tent. In Hawaii, rents for $28,000 per year. Airbnb host makes $1,380 a month for renting out a backyard tent. And they got another link here. 200 Airbnb glamping, that's glamorous camping ideas. That you can get. That's just stuff dealing with TVs and a whole bunch of stuff. Here's something interesting. Just something that we might be able to act on. Airbnb. Oh, wait a minute now. Okay. The headline reads, Airbnb Tent Partnership for Refugees. I'm on board. Okay. Airbnb and Airbnb.org joint Tent Coalition for Refugees in the United States, pledging to find temporary stays for up to 20,000 Afghan refugees, in-kind donation. Okay. Let's look up, all right, that's going to be another demographic of success stories. Here come the attractions. You can call me a psych. I don't even have to be, call me a forecaster on this one. They're going to American success stories in the Afghan community here in the United States, all refugees, Syrian community, Venezuelan community, south of the border, Mexico, Central America, South America, and Ukraine. Watch for these stories to pop up within the next 12 to 18 months. I'm not even going 24 months. That's 2 years. Within the next 12 to 18 months, we're going to see a bunch of success stories from refugees in this country. All right, anyway. So Tent Coalition, or let's look up Tent Coalition for Refugees. Okay, let's see what that's all about. Coalition. All right, Coalitions for Refugees in the U.S. Tent Partnership for Refugees. Okay. Tent Coalition for Refugees in the U.S. is a network of 175 major companies from across the country stepping up to integrate refugees through hiring, training, and mentorship. The coalition aims to empower Afghans, Ukrainians, and other newcomers from around the world who are beginning a new life in the U.S. and to help them accelerate their economic and social integration. Through its coalition, Tent provides members with exclusive guidance, training, and the best practices. I'm all over this. Okay. And they've got partnerships with Amazon and Airbnb and a bunch of other companies, American Airlines. Your social media. And Twitter. All right, Tent Partnership for Refugees. Now, this is something that anybody can do. You can do it within your own community. All right, so, I'm doing research as I'm doing this podcast, discovering stuff. What else can we find on Airbnb? Tents on Airbnb. All right, we found. That's our business model. Tent That once again, if you go to our page and you look at that housing pyramid, price pyramid, the largest group of people is under 50,000. It's a larger base than that, but it's the 10 area. A tent partnership, how to increase your income on Airbnb. They talk about tents and that. Glamping spots on Airbnb. 18 breathtaking Airbnb glamping or can. Let's see. Couple built an underground Airbnb with a side entrance, with a slide entrance. Hidden in tent. Well, let me open up this one. What's this is about? A couple spent $300,000 building a hidden underground home that you can enter by going down a 12-foot spiral slide tucked inside an unassuming tent. And I'm looking at that unassuming tent right now. In Asheville, North Carolina. It's called Alchemy. It's an underground home. They have a company, the Parrishes. This is a couple, Caroline Parrish and Mike Parrish of Asheville, North Carolina, launched a company called Tree Houses of Serenity, which builds unique travel destinations along the Blue Ridge Mountains in Asheville, North Carolina. They've built seven properties so far, including a whimsical Willets Hollow, Wizard's Hollow, and The Perch, on land that they initially didn't know what to do with it. See, Mike's 65, Caroline is 45. Well, I got to post this on our page. There's a lot of ideas out here. You know, we're sitting on them. A lot of us are sitting on these ideas. So, like I said, our thing is we're going to expand to 6 days a week. That gives us 52 more podcasts a year. And then, you know what, even if we just did let's take Saturdays and just did a 10 on Saturdays that will bang out $4,800 a year. Times 52, that's $249,600 for the year. Just on, if we just did it one day a week, Saturday. If we did Saturday and Sunday just 2 days a week, that's $499,200. That's just doing 2 days a week. Starting out with a tent that you can get from Walmart or off Amazon. So we'll be televising stuff what we do online, or live streaming as they call it now. Live streaming. And hopefully some of you can partner with us. But that will be the way. So when somebody asks, how do you find? Well, this is how we do it. We take any donation, and we, or partnership. Well, you know, we'll explain all of this week, and then that's how we do it. Because, like I said, had we done that from the get go. We would have been doing over $11 million a year. But you know what? That's all right. In the next 10 or 11 years, the next 9 to 10 years, we'll get to that. Okay. We will get to that. So it all starts like, so I got the first 10. You know what? I've had this 10 for 4 years, at least. Pleasant Steffens was actually the second person that put the idea of tents in my head. Now, when he told me, I went out and bought one. All right. And that I'll place that on the thing, you know, online tomorrow. Now, I met a woman back in like 2005, somewhere around that, in D.C. at an event called the Soul of Decathlon. And she was sharing with me, she had a house, and this is when the kids was younger. And what she did was she pitched a tent in her backyard for herself and her two children, and she rented out the house. So I would say she planted the mustard seed in my head about tents in the backyard. This 2005. And I guess I'm a bamboo. Bamboo, you know, it takes a long time for those to sprout, but when they sprout, it's like they really shoot up overnight several inches or, you know, and whatnot. But, and they make good, strong building material, too. And bamboo's a, we'll do a podcast on it because bamboo's a type of grass. But, so Pleasant Stephens, he said it, and I went on immediately that day, purchased it. Now I know exactly the one a day. If we miss a day, we have to double up the next day. And I say, if we just do Saturdays, me or you, wherever you are out there, you can make over 200. Now, the thing is, you're not going to get all these in your backyard. Okay. Unless you buy, you know, like 40 acres, 50 acres, 100 acres of land, which I'm sure we get to that. But we're going to start with what we already have. Which is in two locations right here in Florida. One's the immediate backyard I got, which I'm on a little bit over a quarter acre. So we're going to start here, maybe put two here, and then we got another 4 acres. But I don't want to put no more than about 6 tents at the extreme to there. So we'll be buying more lots of land by the acre and doing it that way. Of course, you, whatever you want, but we'll be getting new ideas on this. That's how this came up here. This Ansel Troy, one of our guests, he mentioned somebody on Airbnb is making money with a tent. I went on Airbnb and found out there's a whole bunch of people on Airbnb. They have a camping section. But like I say, if you type in any search engine, Airbnb tents or Airbnb tents for rent, and look what comes back and you'll get a lot of great ideas. So we're sticking our pin in that one and growing from there. Okay, so with that said, all right, now we have to start organizing so we can do a live stream so you can actually see the visual, so you can actually see us in action with all this. And any suggestions, they're welcome. And on that note, folks, oh, wait a minute.